looks like they're getting a bonus hour from us, Larry. We'll see.
What's this pay?
The same as the first 3 hours.
Can you give me like a book of S&H green stamps or a dinosaur gas? I mean,
you get the thrill of working with Chris Earle on his very famous radio shows.
How about a bar of soap shaped like a dinosaur? Anything?
I had one of those.
I did. Yeah. What was that from?
It was a shampoo
Sinclair.
Bottle.
Yeah, Sinclair.
Yeah. It was a Tyrannosaurus Rex, and you took the head off, and you poured the soap into your hand from the head. I had it as a kid.
Huh?
And then as an adult, a friend bought me a soap on a rope, a cow.
And you didn't hang yourself. Nice one.
I didn't do anything. Yeah. First couple years, I kept the rope because I thought maybe I would, in the shower, hang myself by the soap on the rope. Can you? That's a nice way to go, don't you think?
No.
You have the little. Well, you got the little cow on there for people to find you. Then they're like, oh, it's horrible. And then they see the little cow and they're like, oh.
Yeah, but someone still has to clean you up.
Yeah. God, it's awful. What a horrible job that is. Probably the worst. First of all, there's comedians below it, but that's a horrible job.
Comedians below it.
Yeah,
below
all.
Were you bummed out over Robin Williams, and did you cry?
Oh, I loved Robin Williams.
Did you cry?
Yeah. Not at first, but yeah.
It got you.
Yeah. I was in a hotel when I got the news. It was sad. It was bad. I had a couple friends that were there. They were a disaster over it. But yeah, I loved Robin Williams. I thought he was brilliant.
That's what happens when you're funny every sentence of your life. New comics that want to talk about comic books and the Arkansas Razorbacks. you can't live in your own head. That's what happened to me from 1990 to 95. I worked Tuesday through Sunday.
Uh-huh.
Oh, 12, 15 shows a week. All the great New York Jewish comics I work with.
Yeah.
Except Bobby Collins. And then you have other.
I love that smile on that.
That's
man.
The problem. You can't. I should have had a day gig because I worked, 7:30 p.m. till midnight 1 almost every night of the week. I lived inside my head and my head blew up. Mm-hmm. And I also did some heavy metal drugs every other weekend, too.
Yeah.
I paid my rent 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I partied the other 2 weeks. And I did it all without a car.
And you were in your 20s, right?
No, I was born in 59, so I was 30-something.
So you're in your 30s.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think I did have a death wish with the drugs I was doing. I'm not going to mention it because they could become one of your sponsors.
Oh,
And
yeah.
I just don't. If you do drugs out there, you're going to end up in a room all by yourself doing drugs.
That's a good PSA for WMFO in Medford.
Yeah. And also, don't give me this crap. Weed is okay because it's not a gateway drug. Weed is very dangerous, especially the synthetic stuff they make today. It's very strong. All you need is half a hit. Mm-hmm. And I think it was Matt Graham's joke. He did it on Letterman, I'm going to say, in 1990. You know, college students were drinking themselves to death, dying of alcohol poisoning. And Matt Graham said, think about the hangover that guy avoided. Yeah, but he's dead.
Right.
And I don't want a headline to read in the Medford Mercury newspaper if it still exists. Funny guy dies of drugs.
Right.
That ain't going to happen to me.
Yeah.
Now, when I listen to Michael Savage almost every night, he says, I want people to call in and tell me that weed isn't dangerous. And, of course, every call calls up, more alcohol kills more people than pot. And Savage goes, don't change the subject, man.
I actually have a PSA on here that says exactly that.
Can you play that?
Yeah,
can you cue it up?
I gotta find it. Yeah,
find it because I like to. Who's the speaker? Do you know?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I forget.
I want to know who's speaking it to. I want to know if I got paid.
Dr. Lester Greenspan. Let's see. Let me see. All right, hold on 1 second. Let me put the purple in the background. Let's see what this PSA is. Let's see. All right, ready?
Yeah.
I am Dr. Lester Grinspoon, Associate Professor Emeritus of Psychiatry at the Harvard Medical School.
Oh, Harvard.
This
Back
is the right
in 1966, one. Concerned that so many young people were harming themselves through the use of marijuana, I began to review the medical and scientific literature to help clarify the nature of this harmfulness. Much to my surprise, I discovered that it was a substance remarkably free of toxins.
Sounds drunk.
In fact, it is far safer than any pharmaceutical or recreational drug.
Bullcrap.
There is no record of a single overdose death from its recreational or medicinal use.
This is old. People have died.
Marijuana is one of the most studied substances.
He sounds stoned.
I believe it does, doesn't
that
it?
It is high time that this country reconsider its stance.
Yeah, man. Yeah, man. Did you pay this band to do the background music, man? Oh, please.
What's that, one of the Marley Brothers?
Who's this, Peter Tosh?
I don't know what that is.
I can't take it.
Why even put that in? Now, whoever created it. Now, I can't say that because I have a good friend that does PSAs and I do some from time to time here. But I don't think he put that together. That was probably sent to us. But why put that music at the end? Who cares? You know?
The beginning and the end.
Here's this other one. It's called Alcohol or Marijuana. This is the one I was thinking of.
Do you have any PSAs you've done you can queue up?
I do, but I don't have them like immediate right now.
Okay.
Hold on one second.
Let's listen to this.
Here's a
dual diagnosis loser.
Yeah, here we go.
Pop quiz. Which is more dangerous, alcohol or marijuana? Study after study, the science shows that alcohol causes much more harm to the user and to society than marijuana.
This guy's voice
stinks
too.
Why do colleges punish students more harshly for getting caught with cannabis? Join Students for Sensible Drug Policy and give your college administrators a simple pharmacology 101 lesson. Visit www.schoolsnotprisons.com to find out if there's a chapter at your school or how to start one.
Schoolsnotprisons.com. Now,
yeah,
that's
man.
A PSA that somebody probably threw together here at MFO years ago.
Comparing weed to booze.
Yeah, we know more people die from alcohol.
Yeah, well, give them a tea pass.
Well, the other thing is you have, this is where we talk about these precocious people, you know, but most of them are not precocious. Most of them are just, they haven't experienced anything yet. So they're assuming they've all gotten high and they've all done their thing. So they're assuming that alcohol is worse because they've never been poisoned yet. I mean, alcohol's poison.
They're all stoners, man. Yeah, man.
Personally, I mean, I don't talk about this stuff, but I mean, I was never a smoker. You know, I don't care if people smoke.
I've offered it to you.
Yeah.
You always said no.
Yeah. It doesn't matter to me, you know, but I know people enjoy it. I don't mind if people do it around me. I don't care, you know, but it's like, I'm not going to sit there and march in a parade over it.
No.
I'm not going to sit there and, you know, get in people's face and scream at somebody. I don't care.
Yeah.
It's like, just do it and stay, you know, it's like you want to grow your stuff. Stay out of the way. It's like you guys win, you know?
Yeah. You want to recruit everybody to be like you, a stoner, forgetful, tardy ninny.
But at the same time, I'm like, you know, I'm having like my second beer at a restaurant with dinner. Like, are you driving home tonight? It's like, what the hell do you care? It's like, what are you going to drive me home?
Give them the check.
Yeah. It's like, here you go.
Yeah. I don't like people meddling.
You should just stop there. I don't like people.
No, but I have to change that point of view because other people are going to move me. I can't do anything on my own. I'm just not going to let anybody drunk or stoned help me.
Someone
that's been divorced.
You mean travel wise?
Someone that's been divorced three times, I don't need their help figuring anything out. No. Someone that's been to DUI or detox 10 times, I'm not looking for their advice.
My friend called me up and he's like, are you coming to my wedding? He was out in Utah. And I'm like, no, I'm not coming to your wedding, right? And this was the third time he gets married. And he was all offended that I didn't want to come to get married. So he's giving me a hard time. I said, you know what? I'll make the next one. He got so mad. He got so mad. He didn't talk to me for like 2 years afterwards.
Perfect.
Yeah.
But then he changed his mind.
He got divorced 2 months later. This is the best part.
He called you back.
I was right. Because he realized, you know what? You were right. He's like, I wanted you to celebrate this wonderful happiness. Here's the whole love part of it again. People have different ideas of love.
Yeah.
Like is better. And it's like, if you have somebody around that's within that 10% of like with you, you're going to continue on.
Right.
Otherwise, if you're getting on each other's nerves, see you later. And it can end really poorly.
Here's what else to tell all people from Utah.
Mm-hmm.
Anyone thinking of getting married? Sex contaminates everything.
Exactly.
Go do the research.
Disaster. I think of all the relationships I've had. And I hate to say this because, you know, I'm sure there's people listening that have been intimate
with
Chris Earl. With Chris Earl.
Yeah.
And honestly, I wouldn't want to do any of them again. None of them. Like, do any of the relationships. I wish I had just stayed a monk. Because it ruined everything. I had some beautiful, beautiful friendships. And then we had, you know, something involved where, it can only get better. No, you're wrong.
Now
it
the
got
friendship's
worse.
Gone.
It got worse.
Let's say you and I are gay for the sake of discussion.
Yes, let's do that.
Like, we've known each other 3 years.
Sure.
We've been to the Stone Zoo not holding hands.
Buying each other ice cream cones.
Walking along Salisbury Beach, living on fried dough and Michelob for 4.5 days. Mm-hmm. Everything's going great.
Beach pizza.
And then all of a sudden, you know, we decide to be like a queer judge. We tried each other. Okay. Let's just say for the sake of discussion.
Sure. Yeah.
The next day, there's no more zoo. There's no more, should I wait for him to call me or do I call him?
Right.
Should I send him a telegram? Because I forgot how to text.
Gets awkward. Yeah, it gets awkward.
So I'm just saying, yeah, sex is great and all that crap. You know, I fooled around maybe 10 times in my life. I never enjoyed it.
Uh-huh. In a row?
I don't remember. I have to go back and look it up.
Those are the 10 craziest nights of my life.
I kept a diary. I have to go back and look it up.
A journal?
There was one girl I was impressed with.
Yeah.
But then I don't want a whore. She's
crazy.
See? I don't want a whore.
Crazy. Yeah, I don't blame you. I don't either.
You're a fantastic lover, yeah. But I don't want that either.
Exactly. You know why they are, yeah. Because they've done it quite a few times. They practiced.
And then they just won't shut the frig up.
Yes, yes, yes.
They want to put on a pot of coffee and talk about my feelings. And as Mike McCarthy says, I don't care about my dismount.
build me up buttercup in the background.
The foundations.
Yes, the foundations. What people are going to enjoy, if they haven't already, is the background songs really accompany what we're talking about very nicely.
But we're better than the songs.
I think so, too.
That's the goal.
Yeah, yeah. That's a great song, though, the foundations. And that goes out to Ireland, too. Ireland won the...
They requested it?
Yeah, Ireland won to hear the buttercup, build me up buttercup.
So, in other words, someone's requesting a song and you're playing it.
Yeah.
We are making people from
around the globe happy today.
Yeah, but people around the corner are sleeping. This is the problem.
They're over at Bocelli's crying in their cereals.
Is that a pizza shop?
Yeah, remember that Bocelli's around the corner? It was horrible.
There was a Big Dipper coffee shop around the corner from where we are now.
Mm-hmm. Over to Lena's and get a sauce sub.
What city are you talking?
Medford and Somerville. Yeah, right over here. Somewhere around the corner.
Didn't we play...
Pocelli's, you were there.
Oh, yeah, the little pizza shop.
Yeah, we played upstairs.
By Yale.
We were supposed to be downstairs. We played upstairs in the corner while people were still eating dinner. Yeah.
How do we do? Do you remember?
Oh, you and I were fantastic.
We were the best. Everybody else stunk.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I want to talk about comic books and canoes.
Yeah. It's like, and it was one of those nights where, what's the intro? What do you want to do for an intro? It's like, they're not going to remember anyway.
I asked you that?
No. There was somebody else that was running the show that was just god-awful.
Listen, we're going to do our own stuff.
That's my suggestion. I still do my own stuff.
The secret to our relationship will be we're getting along pretty good, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
People are going to be jealous of that and try to break it up.
That's right.
You're going to be careful of that.
Mm-hmm.
Be careful of that. Don't let anybody have their way with you.
I don't care
where you're from.
There is strength in numbers, I will say that. I don't like the wolf packs, but there is strength in numbers.
Well, is two a good enough number?
Two's a nice place to start.
Start from where you are.
Yeah. Two's a nice place to start because it gives your angry voice another angry voice.
Yeah, but who's more angry is the question.
I don't know. You know what? I think in 2018, I might be edging you out over the anger this year. What do you think?
Let me give you some advice.
You seem to be a little bit more settled. You seem a little more good-natured.
I'm trying to evolve. And
yeah.
The anger never fits the crime.
Yeah.
Ooh.
That's so true.
It is good.
That's so true.
I wish I thought of it. It's a good line. I'm not giving credit to who said it.
Mm-hmm.
Just enjoy it because nobody wants to deal with a hothead, pothead.
Yeah.
People, you know, walk around all day going, I'm mad. And I want to say, you know, if you tell me where it hurts, I can be an amazing help to you. But you're probably mad about nothing in the end.
That's so true.
It's all about nothing. What are you mad? The train was late?
My dad lost his keys. And he called me up. He's like, hey, did I leave the keys at your house? I'm like, no. And he's like, well, you know, maybe I left them at Honda. I'm like, well, you went over for an oil change. You probably left them at Honda. And I'm like, didn't you go to the AutoZone, too? And he's like, yeah, I went to the AutoZone, right? What had happened was his wife had found the keys, put them in a basket for him, and the keys had fallen. And he was looking for them for about 2 weeks, so he ended up going to Honda and getting two new keys and spent a few $100s. And then he found the old keys lying in a radiator. So he was complaining about how these keys weren't there and they should never have been put there and blah, blah, blah. And he spent a couple of bucks on that. But meanwhile, he wasted about 25 minutes of my time talking about it. And I'm looking in my house for these keys that were never there to begin with.
He thought you hid them.
Right, of course. And then it's like, so I, first of all, I don't even want to hear the story from him anymore. And second of all, I'm like, well, you got two new keys out of it. And I'm like, talk to your wife about it. That's it. That's the end of the story.
All right.
Don't talk to me about it. I don't care.
Has nothing to do with me.
If that is the extent of your problems in life at 75 years old, you're doing pretty damn good.
You're doing pretty damn good. How about Jim LaLetta's joke?
Which one?
Well, the one I'm about to tell you. God, can't even breathe.
I know. I get excited. I hear Jim LaLetta just excites me.
I know. He's a nice guy, especially in a mask.
Yeah.
Splendid Isolation by Warren Zevon.
Yes.
Listen to that song.
Yeah.
You know, if you bust your butt, you can have any kind of life you want. That's mm-hmm. why I came back, because I know, first of all, people are going to help me around here.
Yeah.
They're going to help me find a job. They're going to help me find a place to live. Mm-hmm. I can't do anything on my own, and we'll see what happens. Jim Laletta said, my grandfather's getting so old. He doesn't even drive, but we're going to get him low-jacked because he's starting to wander.
Yeah.
It's like, we all need a GPS ankle bracelet someday.
I think so, too. Yeah.
So that stinks to get old.
How old do you think you want to get? How old do you want to get?
I would say when the day comes, I can't, my legs stop working, whatever age that is. If I can't ride a bicycle or dance like a banana splits guy.
We should play the Tra-La-La song. It's great, too.
Okay.
That's a 70s.
Or walk up five flight of stairs.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to get out of bed.
I'm starting to feel some pain here and there. You know, sometimes things don't bounce back as quickly as they do. But I always said, you know what? Somebody will read something with the obit. It's like, oh, well, he was 92 years old. That's pretty good run. But the only person who's thinking, well, it's not, is the person that just turned 92 when they want to actually enjoy their life a little longer. Yeah. You know, so you get up there and it's like, oh, 80's a good run. I'll tell you something. When I'm turning 79, 80 years old, I'm going to be like, I think I want to live till 90. You know, but you know, I kind of, if I died today, no regrets.
Nah.
No regrets, none.
No, I'd miss writing money orders. But if somebody's 92 years old today, mm-hmm. they've probably been in World War II, maybe the Korean War.
Oh yeah,
maybe the Vietnam War.
I got an uncle that's 95, and he was in the war. Yeah, so in World War II.
For those people, I say it's pretty amazing any of us are still here.
Yeah,
but you ask them how are things going, 95 year old?
Right.
My mind is fine.
He's had everything.
It's the body.
Exactly. The mind is fine. It's the body.
I think I'd rather have mental, well, how can I say this? I'd rather go through physical pain because maybe I'll bounce back. But
once
I accumulate mental anguish, I don't know how to get rid of it.
Yeah. But at the same time, there is that, you have that excuse if something happens, you know, just be like, hey, you know, he's a little messed up in the head. So what if you just went to the bathroom in the middle of the call center? You know?
Yeah. I never thought of that. Aisle spill in the cubicle area. Yeah.
What's the best job you've ever had, other than doing the stand-up? You love the stand-up the most, right? What's the best job?
I love the stand-up, but being on the radio.
Yeah?
AM 1410, Grinnell, Iowa.
Yeah. Yeah?
And Grinnell College University, I guess they apparently invented the microchip, which I didn't care crap about.
Huh.
And, may I just say right now, if you're a nice guy, you got a lot of problems.
I remember Rod Steiger used to watch this with my brother in New Jersey when we were kids, and geez, I'll never forget that.
I worked in an AM alleged stereo. Station, but you had to have an AM stereo receiver
to
pick it up.
Yeah.
Which I never bought one. I was a news director. My schedule was Monday, Tuesday through Sunday. I had Mondays off. I ran a religious program on Sunday mornings, a live mass, which I did not mind.
Oh, yeah?
Because I had to insert a couple of commercials in there, and you know, you got to be right on the trigger.
Yeah.
You can't push play too early.
Right.
And drown out the priest.
Uh-huh.
Even John Priest. So I'd start my work week Tuesday mornings, 5 a.m. to about 2 p.m.
Yep.
And there were two news directors, me and a guy named Don Bradley. And he was 65, and he died when he went to collect his first Social Security check. So it was just me.
Oh, horrible.
5 a.m. Yeah. And at noon, we have a 20-minute newscast.
Oh, yeah.
I was forced to go to city council and school committee meetings, which I did not like. And I only went to two because on the docket, the agenda of a school committee meeting, we're going to talk about the budget for this fiscal year 2000. This is 18 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of doing that, they did a condensed version of Jesus Christ Superstar.
Okay.
High school kids. Okay.
All right.
So I got up and left.
Yeah.
So there was no news reports the next day with the school committee. You know, you interview people, a 30-second vocal cut.
Yeah.
And, you know, the lights used to flicker on the cart when the cut was wearing down. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Sure, yeah.
When the outro was counting down.
So that was your best job?
So, yeah, but then they asked me why I didn't go to the school committee meeting last night. How come you got no school committee members' voice on tape? Because they did a 20-minute conversion of Jesus Christ Superstar, and that's not... It's on A&M Records. Go to Strawberries and buy it.
Yeah. Strawberries Records on tape. What a dump that was.
But you're the news director. I said, yeah, I decided if it's not newsworthy, I'm not going to report it. I'm not interviewing anybody. I'm not waiting around to interview it. I got to be here at 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. And that means I got to come in at 4 a.m. and get all my news gathered.
Sure.
And so that didn't last long. But then the stupid station manager, who was horrible on the air, of course, said, do you know what? He asked me, do I know what news is?
Do you know what news is?
News is.
Yeah.
News is an accident.
That's what he said?
I said.
Oh, okay.
News is an accident. A guy walking down the highway saying, lest we forget. That stuff I check out. A house fire.
Uh-huh.
A missing pet is news to me. Somebody dying is news to me.
Yeah.
He says, news is what I tell you what news is.
Ah, there we go. Another one
and
of
I
those.
Said,
yeah.
See, did you go to broadcasting school, station manager?
Uh-huh.
No, I didn't. Has anyone ever complimented you the way you sound on the air? Uh-huh. Yeah, they say they like me. I said, well, I haven't taken one of those calls yet.
Yeah.
How many calls have you taken about me saying they like me? He goes, about 10.
Yeah.
He says, so the score is 10 to nothing.
Yeah.
He goes, well, I've been meaning to take you into the studio. I want you to sound like a certain way. I go, and what way is that?
Uh-huh.
Like Dan Rathers.
Like Dan Rathers, huh?
So I said, well, first of all, it's Rather.
Uh-huh.
Second, he's CBS. He's $10 million a year for 25 years.
Sure.
He's worth a quarter billion. You pay me $500 a week to watch Jesus Christ Superstar. So I only lasted there 4 months.
Yeah.
I said, he used to go to Des Moines, Iowa and cover high school basketball.
Yeah.
And he asked me when he made a mistake, he goes, how do you think I sound on the air? You sure you want to know?
This is the station manager.
Yeah, you are horrible.
Yeah, yeah.
He goes, well, you're from New York and we're from Iowa. You're not as down home as people from Iowa. So, no, actually, I'm from Boston.
Yeah.
The seeds of comedy, folk music, rock and roll, broadcasting, pick an entertainment.
Sure.
Whatever.
Yep.
Juggling.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
lead the nation in juggling. So... Yeah. I said, I'm so down home that I would never say to someone, you're not as down home as me.
Uh-huh.
And then he screwed up and said, you walk around here like you're better than everyone. And I said, I am better than you.
Yeah.
And nice. That was the end of me because I lasted 4 months. And the other newscaster said, 4 months is pretty good time for this place. Not many people last as long as you did.
Yeah.
And, you know, the sports guy loved me. One time you asked me my favorite job. Yeah. I had to endure all that just to endure a call one morning at 8 a.m. from a girl that lost her dog.
Yeah.
We also read funeral arrangements over the air. I loved it.
Yeah.
Didn't bother me. That's how you find out someone's gone.
Sure, that makes
sense.
And
now you find out, I didn't know he died. Nobody told me. You listen to me. I'll fucking show you, friggin' show you the way. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm too relaxed again.
Yeah.
It's a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, you lose this job, I'll find a bingo parlor and rent them. I'll help you. And Billy Martin's joke, I went to a bingo cancer ward and someone yelled out B9.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Have you heard him say that?
I've heard that before.
I'm getting too relaxed. I'm in trouble.
That's good, though.
Yeah. So anyway, 8 o'clock in the morning, during religious program, this is how a girl answered the phone. This is how I answered. I said hello at the station and she went, will you help me find my dog? I lost it.
Uh-huh.
So I fell apart. I requested, please don't go, but that's okay. Just do it before
night. No, I know. I know.
So anyway, keep talking.
I haven't forgotten.
Larry, keep talking. Shut up and get to the point. Get to the point, Larry.
I'll worry about the tunes.
Yeah, your music, punchlines. So I said,
this is your best job?
Yes.
Yeah.
I got to tell, this is wrapping it up. I'm wrapping it up. I know I'm going over my time, even though I'm Teddy Bergeron, but there's a big payoff at the end of this.
Okay.
It's like a 45 single in 1960. Big payoff at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I said, give me a description of your dog. Was he wearing a collar? No. Well, it was the last time you saw him at the corner of Medford Square and Syringe Boulevard. Thank you very much. Every time I open the microphone, little girl, I'm going to mention this. 2 hours later, she came to the station and said, I found my dog and she brought me an egg sandwich. Then she hugged me and I cried.
Oh, that's nice.
And that's it. I had to go in the other room and cry because I think No shame in having a good cry. Just don't do it in front of people.
Yeah.
Okay, back to you.
Yeah. No, that's nice.
That's why it was the best job. Waiting for that 8-year-old girl to make me cry what made it the great job. Because I had to endure the hillbillies telling me, you're no Wolfman Jack. Yeah. Well, of course I'm not.
That's sweet, though.
Yeah.
Did you say, honey, I'm so glad to help you find your effing dog?
No, I said it was worth taking this job in order to help you. And thank you for feeding me.
That's nice.
She hugged me. It just destroyed me.
You know, an egg sandwich, too, is one of the best sandwiches, I think.
If it's made right, it can be.
You know, it's nice, you know.
Well, if you're eating an egg sandwich while Build Me a Buttercup is playing, that's nice, too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's something that my uncle brought, like when we went fishing for trout. He brought a couple egg sandwiches. And my uncle was about 450 pounds, so he made us each, like, 8 of them.
6 for me, 2 for you.
And I'm like 7 years old. I thought it was the best thing in the world. We were just eating egg sandwiches and fishing for trout all day.
You don't care about catching anything. I want to eat.
No, it was great.
See, I would say, what if I have to go to the bathroom?
Yeah.
What I would say.
Well, we were on the shore, and we did. Yeah.
Do you remember the Bill Cosby movie, To All My Friends on Shore?
No. No. It's from the 60s?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
I don't remember the whole movie, but at one point, Bill Cosby's going out on a boat away from the land, and he goes, say goodbye to all your friends on shore. That's all I remember. But what do you think about Bill Cosby, Louis C.K., all the crazies?
You know, it depends on the individual. I think Louis C.K. got a very bad rap.
Yeah,
I think that's
continuing. He doesn't bother me.
Yeah, but Bill Cosby, just crazy. And the sad part of this part is like, I'm going to go back to that whole part of being dismissive. It's like the guy's obviously, you know, crazy, did some horrible things. At the same time, what his legacy is going to be is not, you know, helping, having his number one.
Thank you for playing my song.
You're welcome. The number one Cosby show for years and years, and what he did for not only black comics but just black people in general. He was a philanthropist. He'd done a ton of stuff. And the thing is people loved him. People loved his albums and everything. And then he does these horrible things. But this is where the separation of entertainment and what the person, I can separate it. Just like the Tom Cruise Scientology part in the movies. I don't go to see Mission Impossible because I approve of Tom Cruise as a Scientologist.
Okay.
I'm not going to never listen to a very hilarious Cosby album called Revenge or Wonderfulness because he raped a bunch of women. Okay? It's like you can choose not to have anything to do with that guy ever again. But at the same time this is something that happened in the past, and at the moment you really enjoyed that person. He brought a lot of laughter. He helped out a lot of people in life. And unfortunately his legacy is he just raped a bunch of people and he's a horrible man. And that's the part that I have a problem with. I just think that completely sucks.
What about when Eddie Murphy said Bill Cosby? Richard Pryor complained to Eddie Murphy that Bill Cosby told him, you swear too much.
Mm.
And you go, I think the punchline is go have a Coke and a smile.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And
shut the F up.
That wouldn't make you not want to listen to Bill Cosby either?
No. No. I love Eddie Murphy. I think he's fantastic. He's one of my favorites. But I also remember being that little kid listening to my stepfather's records. And the introduction to comedy for me was Bill Cosby and Red Fox.
Yeah.
I listened to those over and over again. And I didn't mimic them. I knew them very well. I didn't like get up and like, oh, I'm going to perform Bill Cosby at an open mic one day. I never did that. But I just always really liked him. But I never watched The Cosby Show. I think he got too big for his britches there. And it's like, but he was the black leader of the 80s and 90s in the entertainment world. You know, I mean, you had Jesse Jackson, all the other, you know.
Jesse Jackson.
Doing stand-up, Hymietown.
Did he? Oh, I mean the comment, Hymietown.
He was on SNL in 84, but.
He said that?
Yeah,
he said Hymietown on
SNL.
He did
a song on it on Manhattan, yeah.
SNL never, I understand why it's popular. Like, SNL's
it's always hit and miss. It's always been crapshoots, but it's great. I love it.
I look at SNL like Madonna. I understand why they are popular.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, Madonna's voice is mediocre at best.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been spoiled by Diana Ross and other great singers, it's hard, you know.
Yeah. Madonna was a great marketer. You know, she's a brilliant marketer, and she went out of her way. Even when she didn't have an album out, you know, she put out like her sex book, or she had a movie, Dick Tracy. She was always in the news. She was always around.
In the nude. Yeah, she has some nice breast disease. I don't care.
But yeah, I mean, I don't know. My guess is, you know, I could be totally misquoted for what I just said about Bill Cosby, but it's like, I think what he did was horrible, but I don't like the fact that people will rewrite history and say he never had those albums, he had never had a number one show. You know, that part is crazy to me. That's just crazy to me.
Do you know about digital to analog converters with an antenna today to bypass a cable bill?
Yes.
For a little while, I discovered Roseanne until she got in trouble, right?
Right. The new Roseanne?
Yeah. They yanked her off the old TV stations like MeTV or whatever they are.
Ridiculous, yeah.
So I was just getting into it. I never saw it. And then they yanked her off free TV. I thought it was free.
Right.
I didn't realize how great that show was.
Yeah, it was pretty good.
It's great.
Yeah.
I thought it was great because I had never seen it before.
But here's the other part, and this is another reason why comedy is in a horrible status right now. And you have, you know, the typical people that are going to say the right words and keep doing what they want. But you have somebody like Roseanne who basically goes out with a political agenda. Same thing with Kathy Griffin. What she did was stupid. You know, just stupid. It's like, I don't care whether you like Trump or not. You know, it's just like, you don't do these things. You're not doing that to benefit anybody else. You're promoting yourself. That's what they were doing. They were being selfish and they were promoting themselves, and it backfired. So shame on them. That's the way I look at it. But to cost a woman her entire job and career, and everybody else involved in the show loses their job because of some stupid thing she said, you know, there's something to be said about you're famous, you have a responsibility, you know, because people look up to you. There's that. But at the same time, to condemn and just destroy people, this is no different. And my opinion is, as you look back 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now, this is the new witch hunt. You're going to see 2010s into the 20s or whatever. This is the new witch hunt. This is the McCarthyism of the new millennia. This is just crazy what's going on with minorities and women and white people and the news media and politics. It is crazy right now.
UNICEF. How about this?
I can tell you right now, Larry, never speak to me again, okay? You call me up on the phone. All right, you send me an email, all right? I say, I please don't want to talk to you. You send me an email, I say, call me, and then you call me twice and you email me. I can go down and I can have the police come to your door and hand you an order and say you're harassing me. And there's something very, very wrong with that, especially, you know, if we've had this relationship for years and years. And then I tell you a couple of things. It's like, you know what? I'm going to bait you. I'm going to do the absolute minimum that what I need, and I'm going to get this person out of my life. There's something very wrong with that.
Griffin and Barr, their careers aren't over. They'll figure out something.
Yep.
You could live stream from your house and have MeUndies as a stupid whatever. Chock full of nuts sponsors. Some kind of, all you need is a sponsor, or you could do it for free.
Yeah. I love playing the tunes, though. I enjoy having the tunes. I love the talk part of it, but I love having the tunes in the back. I like the accompaniment of that, and that's the part that's tough. You can't have just a regular, you know, I can't have the regular podcast. And at this point, I wouldn't want to have a podcast because everybody's got one.
Right.
What's going to make yours any different than the others, other than you actually care a little bit more, you put some more time into it? You can tell if you have a decent product, you can tell.
I think if you have a good guest, that changes everything.
I think so, too.
You know, that's that. Important.
But there's the other thing of is like, well, you still have to promote and do this. You can have people that are god-awful, you know that, and they promote themselves so much. And it's like, you know what? Crap is crap. Like, I get something from this guy, like, well, I forget what his name is. It's like, he's like a Sinbad at best. He's like a Sinbad light. And he like sends me this email once about being on a show, and then all of a sudden I'm on his list. I've been on his list for like 20 years now, like 15 years of emails from this guy. It's like, oh, I'm in you know, Nebraska today. I'm in Arkansas tomorrow. It's like, dude, I don't care, you know? It's like, great, you're getting around, but...
You have three microphones here and four chairs.
I know.
You should have a show with three people you can't stand.
Oh, I've done it. I've had it. Yeah, yeah.
And that's how you promote it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then maybe work out whatever it is they don't like about you. You work it out over a microphone.
I don't know, man. But it's so exhausting. That's the part. It's like, who wants to do the work?
Even
and I always offer the olive branch, like I said. But I'm so sick of doing it now. I'd rather just throw off of the finger.
I know, I've been reading with you on Facebook. I've known this person since the blizzard of 78. We used to buy Frisbee Whammos.
Yes.
Back in the day when Servitz merchandise was in Tewksbury. Uh-huh. And then they all just,
they think they're
clever and they're not. Yeah. They think they're educated and they're stupid.
Yeah.
That's what we're going to talk about today.
Yeah. There's so many. There's so many crazy things going on. I told you about, let me tell you about that one, okay? So here I am at, I'm going to play a little Exile in the background. Great tune.
Two songs at once. Nice work.
Oh, I faded it out. I faded it out.
You're a jerk.
I faded it out. I usually don't have my guest heckle me on my abilities, but it's you, so it's fine. It's funny. It's good.
And I'm a craftsman, so I know what I'm talking about.
And Larry's leaned back into the chair like he's gone to a different decade, like the 70s. It's like the time travel show almost.
But like David Frost.
So I put a picture up, right? And I haven't gotten to talk to you about this. So I put a photo up about a cop. I'm literally at a police rally. There's police like all around. And there was one empty vehicle there. So Ice Cube had a song come out and he's making fun of, you know, the police and LA and stuff. So I put up a finger and I put like a quote from Ice Cube up there. My friend, who is going to go nameless, I've known him for years and years and years. And there's a reason why, you know, he's got some friends that are in the police and stuff. And it's like, I know policemen stuff. And anybody who knows me knows that it wasn't that big of a deal. And he took such great offense to it. And, you know, he's like, you know, I'm hurt by this and I don't want to talk. And literally, without even talking to me about it, he was just like, I'm done with you. And I'm like, oh, whatever. All right, whatever. I'm done with you. Yeah. It's the tube bar. And I'm just like, this is so crazy, like how the world is now. Yeah. It's just so crazy. It's like, so I'm posting something that's funny that people thought was funny, and anybody that knows me knows it's funny. I don't take any. I'm not offending the police or Ice Cube or any of this stuff, you know. But it got so misconstrued as just crazy.
I love the police, don't you?
They're all right. They're all right. Yeah, they've helped you.
Yeah,
they've helped.
They've been good to me. And even though I'm not a scumbag, they've still been good to me.
See, in my life, I can't really say that I've been offered any assistance. However, I understand what they do is good to serve and protect. I think there's a lot of people that abuse that power. And to not talk about that and totally dismiss that is wrong, too, because there are some bad apples there. And I would almost argue there may be more bad apples than good ones. But that's just in my experience.
That's your point of view.
Yes. But I'm also open to listen to what other people say. I'm not putting that in everybody's face either, you know. But at the same time, this whole thing about, you know, especially after like 9/11, like, oh, everybody's a hero. It's like my idea of a hero is a frickin' sandwich. You're not a hero because you drove your kid to school today. You know, you're not a hero because, you know, it's nuts to me. All of a sudden, everybody in the service industry, other than waiters and waitresses, are heroes.
The installment or the instillment of everything's black and white today, does that drive you up a wall? Like,
yeah,
black. Let's put it this way:
it's been a very dark hour of conversation. You realize?
I don't
that.
Care.
It's very dark.
You know, we need some
real. We're
some
keeping
depth,
it real.
Some depths to draw off. Yeah. So on the it's ride right. home, we can say, "See how full of crap we are."
I know. Already in spiked an hour ago at 5 o'clock. They're like, "Ah, they're done."
Yeah, they're listening to Swap
Nobody's
Shop.
Nobody's listening
in Frankfort, Kentucky, because someone's selling a one slice toaster.
Right, right.
Or giving it away. Uh-huh. No, what I'm saying is, you can go look up the facts that there are more whites that are shot and killed by the police than blacks.
Uh-huh.
Okay? You can't overrule the numbers. Moreover, I'm not there, so I really don't know what the heck happened.
Right.
So what do you think, once you install race, even though race is a fascinating subject, after a while, I got to change the subject.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
With the subject of race?
Yeah.
Like what's happening now in the media and stuff?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Why is everything black
and white? It's
crazy. Why does it have to be?
I think people if they can use it for their own agenda, they will. And nobody is afraid not to now. What people are becoming afraid of is actually speaking up. A lot of people are afraid to speak up because the majority is they're going to push them down as soon as they speak up. You have a bunch of silent people, just like the stupid thing with this anonymous message the other day. It's like, so supposedly this person works in the White House, you know, could be, you know, somebody
feeds people sandwiches or something. It doesn't matter, you know? And the New York Times puts it in as anonymous. First of all, it's just ridiculous. Oh, we're not going to give up our source. That's part of journalism, and it's also part of crap. I mean, to me, somebody who is anonymous, you know, and like somebody would be like, oh, that person's a hero. I'm like, no, they're not. They're not sticking up for who they are. They should quit their job. If they have such a problem with it, they can quit their job and then write to the New York Times. That's my opinion. You know, and that's not me being political. It's not me promoting, you know, the presidency. It's just me saying, you know what, stick up for yourself and don't sit it and have both ways. You can't have it both ways.
Andy Kim.
Mm-hmm.
I never really liked the song, but it's already started. So let's do it.
Oh, yeah.
WMFO. See, I still got it. I'll be 60 in March.
You got it.
It's still good.
Andy Kim's got kind of that Bobby Collins smile.
Joe Malone's
gonna
mouth.
Bring that back. Gonna bring back the happiness of the previous hour.
What about Joe Malone's mouth? Does it look like a quarter moon sideways? Joe Malone's smile.
Yeah.
You know who I met once? I was scooping ice cream at Brigham's on State Street.
Oh yeah.
And a lot of the postal carriers will come in from the South Station Postal Annex.
Yes.
And I would. I work at Mark Schneider. Believe it or not, I used to fall asleep standing up. I don't know how anybody does that, but I may have done it once. But at one point, they'd all come in with their postal uniforms, and I go, y'all have any good postal jokes today? No, I'd say, are you disgruntled today? And one day, one postal guy said, we only shoot our own.
Wow.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Another guy said, how do you know when the post office is hiring? Flags at half staff. You ever hear that? I never heard
that's
that.
That's pretty good, yeah.
So he goes, you never heard that joke? Yeah, and I'm laughing so hard because it's new to me.
Yeah.
Well, you're a comedian. Haven't you heard any joke? Yeah, today I have.
Yeah.
This is 20 years ago. I've heard every joke around come around the world 20 million times, and every emotion has gone around the world. Who was it? Steve Martin said, you can't be new again. Boy, I wish I didn't hear that.
Yeah, yeah.
I can't be new again.
Yeah.
It's
no,
a shame.
You can't.
It's a
that's
shame.
Why I'm like, if I do it all again, I wouldn't. You
no,
know?
I think I would.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't deal with club owners or booking agents. I just do my own crap.
Mm.
And that's
you're not going to have the knowledge to do that.
No, I'm producing everything.
Unless you have all this knowledge. Then
well,
you do it again.
I'm producing the night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need an editor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm the producer, the editor. Maybe I'll have a guy.
Just like the person that didn't want to play the music. It's like you're ruining my act because you don't want to play the music.
You know what? You should have an engineer in that empty room.
Yeah.
Pointing at you, saying...
Yeah.
We're going to play some
I've had some people do it. I've had them help out, but I don't want it. Yeah.
You
want
to hear some queued up PSAs, Larry? Let that guy do it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yeah. No, I know that part.
About.
I know that part.
I'm just saying you need a producer so that...
I don't have as many guests anymore. That's the thing.
Hey, the 6 o'clock guy's probably not going to come in, so we're going to work another hour.
Yeah, yeah.
You may. I'm just saying you need a producer
he's
or,
gonna be
or an engineer.
But it has to be somebody I like, because then all of a sudden... Eh.
Like when my microphone fell down here?
Yeah.
That guy will come in and put it back up.
Oh, I took
you
care
should
of it,
know. I know, but
I already
should
knew how to do it. I'm an all-around, I'm a song and dance man. I do it all.
At these prices,
uh-huh.
You shouldn't be doing anything but thinking and talking. And you're only paying me a lousy $25 for this. I haven't even told you that you got 15 minutes to pay me, or I'm taking the bus home.
Yeah.
I don't even have a place to live, and I'm taking the bus home.
Andy Kim, what happened to him?
I don't know. But you don't have many guests on because it becomes too cluster effy? Is that what ends up happening?
I think over the years I enjoyed doing stuff myself. But the other part of it is a lot of time travel, which I was doing on Wednesday nights 5 to 7. Now I do the movie one, which is watch this.
I didn't know about
which
that.
Is movie soundtracks. But time travel was becoming a little edgy. I was here a little too much, it was becoming a little edgy.
No, but the movie part of it is what takes more out of you. Than the playing of the music.
The movie, it's a lot of
prepare.
The Wednesday nights, it's a very big preparation. And I've only done about maybe 18 of those shows now since the spring. But it's been a great show. It's been fun. But it's also one of those shows where, like, well, if this were in L.A., this would be a hell of a lot bigger than it is in Medford. You know, I mean, I get a good amount of listeners, but I'm like, you know, I'm putting on a lot of work for this. And some guests, you know, they appreciate it, and others are just like, eh, you know. It's like, that's, what is this?
It's Dr. Hook
sharing the night together.
Did you ever hear their version of Sylvia's Mother?
Oh, yeah, I love it.
That's good.
Yeah, I love it. I was with a friend, and we had gone out a whole bunch of times. This is years. And we didn't share the night together.
I think maybe it was going up to that point.
This is a woman, please.
This is a woman. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Thank you for being straight. Go back to you.
And very, very, very flirty, very complimentary. And went out a whole bunch of times. And it was fine. It was a good friendship. And then all of a sudden, it was just like one night is just like, you know, there was a moment where just there was a little eye and just like, oh. And you think, okay, well, wait a second. Maybe this is a sharing the night together moment. But it wasn't. It was just like, this is a bad idea.
You went
and
to
then
her
all of
place.
A sudden it was all over. And then it was all over. I was invited. Yeah, I was invited and it didn't work out.
Let me, for those of you people listening in the Medford zip code, if you see someone,
yes,
and they're so hot you feel your reproductive system reboot itself, still wait a couple of years for that person to say something so stupid and outrageous you'd be glad you didn't hurl yourself at them.
Yeah.
And the only reason why I could see to get married is to have beautiful children. And I don't like children because you have to let them in the house once in a while.
Yeah.
And they grow up to be liberal Democrats. And, you know.
Or they could be ugly children.
Like my family. I didn't do anything to my family. They want nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
They could do this. I could pick up the same point of view. My parents did nothing to me, but I don't want anything to do with them.
Right.
It could easily go both ways.
Yeah.
Does he go both ways is the question.
You know, here's another one of the, I don't know if it's considered, well, it's a Christian truism maybe. Maybe that's something it is. But there's so many people that think their baby is so beautiful, and there are ugly babies. Oh, no, there's plenty of ugly babies. And I remember at one point when I was probably a teenager, and I was assaulted with a baby, pretty much. And I mean that by, hey, don't you want to hold the baby? And the baby was put in my lap. So I'm like 13 years old. And I'm holding this baby that I didn't really want to hold. And it wasn't a very attractive baby. And one of the reasons why was just this odd-shaped melon. And also the baby was screaming. It was screaming, right?
Baby didn't like you.
So my opinion was, and I'm not going to name names, but it was a family member that just thrust this baby toward me.
I hate it.
And I think it was just because they wanted to see me get uncomfortable holding a baby as a teenager.
Yeah, a little bundle of joy. Get it off me.
And so like, oh, isn't a baby cute? And I'm just like, eh, you know.
Phone's ringing.
I know.
Could be the fuzz.
I see it. We're going to do theme from SWAT. So basically I said, the baby's not that pretty. The baby's not that pretty. She got all offended. Here's SWAT. Rhythm Heritage in the
Rhythm
background.
Heritage. Yes. I thought it was Mike Post, but that's Hill Street Blues.
The theme from SWAT. Whew. Do you remember what SWAT was? Strategic Weapons Automatic Transmission or something, was it?
I'm John McCain. I approve this message, and my elbow is still bent. Sorry. You should watch what you say. No, I don't have to.
I'm going to tell you what SWAT was. Special Weapons and Tactics.
Okay. Yeah, whoop-de-doo. You can close that Wikipedia page out now.
Almost got the and. What did you watch? You didn't watch many 70s TV shows?
No, I did. I liked the Rockford Files and Barney Miller.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Alice.
I like Vic Tabak. Don't take any checks, Vera.
I liked Big Tayback too. He was good.
I loved him. I didn't realize how good of an actor he was. And when I was watching my MeTV free over the air aerial antenna. What else did I like? Columbo.
Oh, yeah, it's Columbo.
Like four.
Peter Falk, fantastic.
Four or five TV shows. I was more of a radio guy. I'm wired to listen still these days because if a song doesn't start right, I don't give it the rest of a song.
Yeah.
If there's a big payoff at the end of the song, I may see it through. But as far as television goes, it's too fast and canny for me. The commercials are run too fast. The credits at the end of a movie, who's who? Who's filling in this week for Peggy Lipton? You ran it too fast.
See, I love movies. I can watch even bad movies.
Yeah, but that's the problem. That's because that makes the better movies better when you watch a stinky movie. Let me do a record talk up here. Ready?
Go ahead.
It's been a pleasure being here this afternoon in my hometown. I'm going to go to visit my brother's grave in West Medford across from the high school later on. Maybe do a line of sugar cane off his headstone. 1955 to 1978. Richard Paul Rappucci, my best friend, my older brother. I'm blessed to have an older brother, even though he dies. He'll be greeting me at the pearly gates any day now. Sitting here in this chair. Not bad for a white guy.
That's pretty good. Larry Rappucci, it's Rose Royce. I want to get next to you, WMFO Medford.
When I woke up, I couldn't speak or walk.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
182 over 100.
Been second in the 70s, WMFO in Medford. My name's Chris Earl. Be back next week. Have a good weekend. Thanks to Larry Rappucci.
Hi, this is Riley James, and you're listening to 91.5 WMFO.